continue to pray for these that are sick, not feeling well. As Sister Pepper mentioned, it has nothing to do with COVID. Actually, if you stop and think about it, you don't even hardly hear that word anymore. It's still out there. It's still out there. So is the flu. You're starting to hear more about the flu again. Starting to hear more about strep throat again. You know, up to this point in time, it's just everything was COVID. You know, whether it's strep throat, flu, whatever. You know, it's all COVID. You know, so and what was that? It was a fear factor. It just trying to get people to be afraid. And we don't have to fear, do we? I mean, you know, heaven's our gain. Hallelujah. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear things because heaven is where we're headed. That's what we're living for. Praise God. And Romans chapter 13, we'll move on with the message this morning. So thankful for what God's been doing in Calvary Lighthouse Church, what God's been doing in the hearts and the lives of the people here. It's just really a wonderful thing what God is doing in us and through us. Praise God. It's amazing. We got to stop and really start thinking about the goodness of the Lord, because there is a lot of things that would discourage us, a lot of things that put us into despair, and a lot of things that would disappoint us. I mean, I've been disappointed this week, have you? But I don't stay there. I don't dwell there. I don't abide there. It just, those are the things, they come and they come to pass. So in other words, I don't have to live in disappointment. I'm not exempt from it, but I don't have to live there. Amen. I can choose where I want to live. And I want to live close to Him. Praise God. I want to live close to the Lord. Praise God. You been working on your powerhouse this week? If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a little brochure right up here next to the little bucket for the kids. Got the kids' toys in it. About being a powerhouse. Building a powerhouse. Have you been building your powerhouse this week? Your house being a place where God can dwell. And the power of God can be there. Hallelujah. So that when you come to the house of God, the power of God is not a foreign thing to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get there. Romans chapter 13, verse number 11 and 12. If everybody has found it, if you haven't found it yet, just look up. There it is. Praise God. You can find it in your Bible. That's wonderful, and I expect you to if you have your Bible with you and if you want to. But if you want to just look at the screen, it's Romans 13, verses 11 and 12, starting at verse number 11. And that knowing the time. Wow, we could stop there and preach for a long time, couldn't we? Knowing the time. What time is it? It's time for something. That now it is high time. That means it's an important time. It's the most important time. It is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Praise the Lord. You may be seated again this morning. Amen. Now, don't be offended at this title this morning. I'm not pointing this at anyone or any person at all. But I do have something I want to share with us. How many survived Thursday night being in the house of God? You survived it, didn't you? It was pretty tight, wasn't it? But it was right, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. So if you survive Thursday night, you're doing well. I just barely did. Hopefully you'll survive this morning. Praise our God. I want to preach this morning on shake off the sleepies. Weston, you wide awake this morning? You look like you are. Praise God. That means he shook off the sleepies. You understand what that means, don't you? I have to shake it off all the time. I'm the type of guy, if I sit down, if I get still, here come the sleepies. Anybody? There's other folks that can relate to that. I mean, maybe there's a lot of folks that can relate to that. Maybe I thought I was the only one. I don't know. Praise God. But the sleepies, you know, it's just how many, when you wake up in the morning, you just wake up, jump up on your feet, and jog in place. I mean, there are some folks out there. Now, Sister Pepper is a great advocate of exercise. And so that's what helps keep me in shape, can't you tell? No. What it is I don't hearken to the advocate of exercise, but I'm fixing to. I'm trying to. I'm pressing that direction. But even Sister Pepper, an advocate of exercise, when she gets up in the morning, she is not running in place and she is not running to the treadmill. She is making her way to shake off the sleepies. Now, this is where I excel, because I can get up and I've got the sleepies, but I seem to shake mine off sooner than she does. And so I have to wait to be loud until her sleepies are shook off. Praise God. You ever wondered why preachers get loud? Helping you shake off the sleepies. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, we get in the house of God. It's time to be loud. Hallelujah. It's time to lift our voice. It's time to worship God. But sleepies, and when the Bible talks about sleep, when the Bible talks about slumber, it's talking about when God's people just kind of start slowing down, sitting down, and then their motivation almost made you fall asleep right there, didn't it? Yeah, that's what the Bible... Notice that Paul is writing to the church. He's not writing to someone who doesn't know better. He's writing to the church, and it's evident from his writing that the church had begun to slow down, sit down, and not a whole lot of life and movement going on in her activity. Ooh, my. Now, how many's ever heard the terminology, if you want to keep fit, if you want to keep movement, you got to have activity. We all know that if we don't use a part of our body, if it got injured, we got to go through what they call rehab. And what rehab is to get your body back to where it can move like it's supposed to. Because if you hold it and leave it in one position for a long period of time, it loses its mobility. Woo, my. Now, God's wanting a church that's mobile. God's wanting a church that moves. God's wanting a church that's activated, hallelujah, by the Holy Ghost of God. And so Paul is writing here to the Roman church, and he's saying, we know the time, and it's high time that we awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And even being in Rome, he may have been talking more about the persecution and the losing of lives that was going on as Nero began to persecute the church, began to blame the church for every thing that was going on in Rome. But actually, it was because of Nero and his insanity. But he started blaming the church. That'd be a good scapegoat. And he starts offing them into the arena, throwing them into the arena and feeding them to the lions. And you haven't went through any of that this week, have you? You hadn't had to run from a lion, so to speak, have you? I mean, that's what they were doing in that first church. They were putting them in the arena and turning the lions loose on them, and seeing the what was going on and cheering and applauding and roaring because Christians were dying. But they didn't get to have a whole lot of fun about it, because all of them would just go out there and probably kneel down, begin to praise God, pray to God, and the power of God come down, and the lions devoured them, and they could care less because they just went to heaven. Wow. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. So we got something similar to that going on right now in Russia and in Ukraine. It's not lions. It's tanks, machine guns, bombs that are killing innocent people because of evil. Anybody remember the definition of evil? The absence of God. See, that's what men turn to when they defy God and don't want to acknowledge God in their minds, in the way of thinking. That's where that comes from. And so we see then the church in Rome was falling asleep. You know, in the Bible, sleep also means death. You know, when Jesus came to the situation with Lazarus, he said he's asleep. And the disciples said, oh, well, that's good. He probably needed some rest. And then Jesus said, well, he's dead. You know, and so sleep in the Bible refers to death. And so Paul's saying it's time to awake out of death. Now, we just preached Thursday night and you survived it. Praise God. We just preached that faith is alive. And faith without works is dead. And so now I'm preaching this morning, shake off the sleepiness. Hallelujah. Shake off that sleep, that slumber, that not getting motivated to serve God in these last days, but being content with where I've always been. Oh, my. Shake off those sleepies. Oh, my. You know, how many realize the more you do something and it becomes just a repetitive way of doing it, the more you don't even think about what you're doing, you just do it? Do you have to think about brushing your teeth? Or do you just do it at the appointed time? Okay, it's time to brush my teeth. You just... And you start doing something else while you're brushing your teeth. Pepper walk around, do other stuff sometimes while she's brushing her teeth. How about you? Do you ever walk around brushing your teeth and doing some other thing, picking this up, picking that up, and just, you know, brushing? You're not even thinking about brushing your teeth, are you? You're just brushing them. Uh-huh. But, you know, and then if you're not careful, you'll just kind of, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm done. You can talk to Sister Pepper about brushing your teeth later on. Hallelujah, after service. How it's really supposed to be done. Praise God. But, you know, what I'm saying is when sleepies come upon us and we're just doing things out of habit, it produces really not an efficient nor effective productivity in our lives. Hallelujah. And so we're kind of going through the motion, but it's not really activating our spirituality, activating our personality, activating our holiness, nor our righteousness. It's because we're half asleep. Woo, we got sleepies going on. Oh, praise our God. Hallelujah. So, Ephesians 5:14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. How many want revival? Woo! And pay attention to what I'm going to be preaching about this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. He says, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. Hallelujah. That means I'm going to have to arise from the sleepies. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to stand up. You know what I did just the other morning in school? All my school students, they know exactly what sleepies are. I've never seen the likes of students that have the sleepies all the time. I mean, I don't remember going to school and having the sleepies. Do you, Sister Pepper? I've never went to school. When I went to school, if I fell asleep with my head on my desk, there would be another part of my body that would be warmed up immediately. Hallelujah. Maybe I need to start doing it like that. It worked well in my day, in my hour. Maybe I need to work that magic in the hour I live in my school. Hallelujah. But the sleepies, they kind of come upon us and you know, we just lay our heads down and, oh my. But when I arise from that sleep and I arise and I shake myself, and I've seen it happen multitudes of times. The other morning it happened, and so I said, all right, let's all stand up. Step out from your desk. We're going to run in place for a little while. Woo, and we did. We didn't run long because I couldn't run long, but I could probably run longer than they could. So I thought that was pretty good. Hallelujah. And so we ran in place right there in front of our desk. And we got to huffing and we got to puffing a little bit. And when we were done, the sleepies were gone. It lasted about 15 minutes, but they were gone. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so I said that to help us realize just because we shake them off for a little bit doesn't mean they'll stay away. Hallelujah. I mean, we've got to get a little proactive. We've got to get a little more enthusiasm going on in our personal lives, not in the house of God, in our personal lives, to where we are ready to just jump, run, skip, hop, whatever needs to be done, if you will, for the kingdom of Almighty God. Right in our household, right among our neighbors. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. So I've got a few things I want to share with us this morning about we need to arise and do. Are you ready to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only? Then you're going to have to shake off the sleepies. Oh, my. You just can't do anything when you're half asleep. You just can't think straight, you know. You know, how many's ever went to the refrigerator to get a glass of tea and you got a glass of milk instead? Or went to get a glass of milk and you got a glass of tea instead? Because you were so sleepy, you couldn't think about what you was doing. You went to the back porch instead of the bathroom because you thought you were headed in the right direction. Most of the time that don't happen unless you moved into a new house. You know, but when you're sleepy, you know, how many is a little stiff when you get out of the bed in the morning? Oh, you, surely not you, buddy. Surely not. He might be. I mean, you know, I am observing that sometimes just because people are young doesn't mean they don't get stiff. You know, and when I hear these reports of young people getting, you know, stiff and sore, and, oh, man, I can't hardly move because I worked late yesterday hard. Oh, wow, I'm still young. Praise the Lord. Because that's just how I say it, too, you know. And these younger ones are saying the same thing, and they think they're old. And I guess they don't understand what old really is. Praise God. And so we see, so, you know, we're moving slow. We're stiff. We can't function well. But we have to make the change. How many has ever went to the bathroom in the morning, turned on the cold water, threw cold water in your face? How many? I'm going to see hands. How many's ever done that? That's a pretty abrasive move, isn't it? I mean, it's just like, whoa, wow. That was cold. I don't know about your water, but when my water comes out of that tap early in the morning, it's cold. It's cold. So I rarely do that because I don't like that abruptness. I just go ahead and wake up on my own. Yeah. How many's a snoozer? You know what I mean by a snoozer? You hit that button. Yeah, I'm a three-button snoozer. Isn't that weird how we do that? I mean, you know, I know when I really want to get up, so I set my alarm 30 minutes before. Why? Because I'm a three-button snoozer. Why? Yeah. How many's a four-button snoozer? Five? How many don't even turn on the alarm? Just snooze as long as you want. Don't. That be the case, you need to rise. Woo, hallelujah. Get your clock set right. Darkness is time for sleep. Daylight's the time to be awake. Can I say that again? I realize when you first have new babies, and we've got a new baby coming on, sometimes your days and your nights are just the same. But for normal human being purposes, unless you have to work a night shift, you should be awake during the day and asleep during the night. If you've got that turned around and your clock's all messed up, well, we just changed our clock, so it's time to change yours. Praise our God. Hallelujah. I mean, we are firm believers of righteousness, are we not? If you really want to get serious about it, just go to the Bible and it'll let you know you're supposed to sleep at night and be awake during the day. Right? Amen. Praise God. That's a different story. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 7, and I got to move on this morning. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Wow. Arise and eat. Now, if we're talking about ribeye, anybody try them donuts this morning? Did you like them? They're pretty good, wasn't they? And that's day old. They were good even day old. I mean, that's rare in a donut. I realize I fed you day old donuts last Sunday too, but they weren't near as good as these, were they? Sorry. That's just the way it works sometimes. Can't always have the good stuff. Arise and eat. Now, if we're talking about our favorite food, not a problem. You know, I can be laying in the bed doing my snooze buttons, and Sister Pepper's up cooking breakfast. Oh, and that aroma makes it to I arise because I want to eat. I don't have a problem eating first rattle right out of the box on every morning. Praise God. I just never had a problem with eating, you can tell. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I will arise for that which I desire. Wow. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I mean, when we were having men's breakfast, was it hard to get out of bed that morning? Mm-mm. No, because you're excited about going to Black Bear Diner and having that breakfast that you love. Praise God. So we arise and we were vivacious. Men's breakfast. Hallelujah. Glory. 2 Peter 1:19-21 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That angel told Elijah to arise and eat because the journey is too great for thee. You and I are going to have to arise and begin to feast on God's word continually. We got to get excited about God's word just as much as we get excited about a ribeye, as we get excited about a breakfast meal, as we get excited about any food we love to consume and love to taste. Woo, praise God. You realize that taste and all that stuff is nothing but mere flesh. That's not the spiritual man that enjoys all that taste and that flavor. That is that old man, that's that natural man, and it's not wrong, don't misunderstand me, unless it gets totally carried away. Woo. But I've got to get as much enthusiasm and as much desire to feed my spiritual man as I do my natural man. Hallelujah. And I've got to get around where I arise and I begin to eat. I begin to feast upon God's word. I begin to allow God's word to take me from darkness and take me into the light and get a hold of God's word till the day star. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost of God, begins to arise. Woo! Arise in my heart. Arise in my mind till he begins to direct my path. And that's just one day. Woo! That's just one day. How many just survive all week long on one meal? I know some folks that only eat one meal a day. But they're probably far better off if they eat three meals compared to the one they ate. Catch that one. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I'm having too much fun up here preaching this because it is just really exciting to me of the reality of the things that you and I can do to benefit our spiritual man that are at our disposal. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for technology? How many's got Bible on your phone? So you listen to it every day, right? You read it every morning, every noon, every night. You eat morning, noon, and night, don't you? Wait a minute, you're not as excited about that yet. Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. You're not going to overcome. You're not going to be fruitful. You're not going to be victorious. Why? Because you won't eat the right things. Hallelujah. You won't eat that which is good for you. You won't eat of the Word of God. You won't feast of the Word of God. Whoa. I'm not saying you don't ever eat it. But you probably don't feast on it near as much as you feed your face. Woo! Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for thee. God has provided His Word so that we could be spiritually strong, that Jesus Christ could rule and reign. Wow. Glory. Hallelujah. Rule and reign in our hearts and our souls. Now here's one thing that is very, very vital to the nourishment that comes from the Word of God. Just as there's important factors for nourishment in this physical body, there's important factors for nourishment from God's Word. And the number one factor, and of course we preached on faith factor Thursday night, but the number one factor that I want to talk about right here at this point in time, so I can shake off the sleepies, is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost of God. Vital, important role in nourishment from God's Word. It's the Spirit of God that quickens. It brings it alive. It's the Spirit of God that speaks to my spirit to let me know this is good. Hallelujah. Oh, this is great. Oh, this is what I need. Hallelujah. Oh, I love God's Word. Are you getting excited about it yet? I mean, it's just like that favorite pie. Your mouth starts to water when you think about pecan pie. Woo, maybe yours don't. Hallelujah. Nope, his don't. Praise God, but mine does. I mean, I can think about a steak and my mouth can water. If I ponder on it very long, my mouth will begin to water and I can almost taste it in my mouth, Brother Robert. But oh, glory to God. The Word of God can be the same way to that spiritual man. You can get so excited about God's Word. Man, you're just looking for something to do. God, hallelujah. Oh my, just can't wait to read it again. Just can't wait to see that newness of life. Just can't wait to see how I can serve God and please God. Oh my God of heaven, hallelujah. Wow, you don't have that going on yet? Praise God, you can arise and eat. You realize Elijah was asleep. He was asleep, why? Because he was depressed. Because he was discouraged. He was disappointed. He thought he was the only one going through all this dilemma. He wasn't, was he? No, God said, I got 1,000. I got plenty more. But Elijah, what you need to do is arise and eat. Because I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done with you yet. Hallelujah. I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done with you yet. Arise and eat. Hallelujah. Oh, find that strength from the Word of God. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to be pursuing that with all your might, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Hallelujah. What is that? Loving God. Loving God, the very first commandment. You need to be pursuing the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. With all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, all your enthusiasm, all you got. You need to be praying on your face before God until He fills you with that glorious infilling of the Holy Ghost of God. Wow. It's one of those circumstances where you can have dessert first. Glory be to our God. Thank you, Jesus. Arise and eat. Micah chapter 2. I've got to move on here. Verse number 10. It says, "Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction." When I begin to arise and eat, I am immediately going to be confronted with arise and depart. Because this is not good for you. Oh, wow. I come across that scripture and I thought, wow. To be honest with you, I've read Micah several times, but I've just never really saw that scripture just like this. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. In other words, this is not going to help you. This is going to hinder you. This is polluted. Wow. Get away from it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shake off those sleepies. Glory to God. Realize it's sin and depart from it. Glory to God. And then you will find strength for your soul. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You know, it's amazing to me in these last days that we're living how many people are living in a delusional life. What do you mean by that, Brother Pepper? They got sin going on in their life and they think it's okay. They think it's all right. Why do they think that? Well, because when they come to church, they feel God. Where else would you feel God? When they pray, they feel good about themselves because they pray. Of course you're going to feel good about yourself when you pray, because you're supposed to pray. They'll read God's word. They won't pay a bit of attention to the parts that talk about the sin in their life. They feel good about reading God's word. So I must be all right. Well, the thing is, when you arise and eat, hallelujah, with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, you're going to find out that God hates sin. He loves you, but He hates sin. And until you're ready to call it sin, it's going to remain in your life. As long as you call it everything but sin, you think it's okay. But you got to take a hold of what God's word says about it. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. This is not what God saved you for. Because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. What that means to me is it's not only going to destroy you, it's going to destroy all those around you. That thing that we think we have hidden is not hidden from God. And He is the one that is most important. Not the pastor, not the associate pastors. It's that God sees it plainly. And because God sees it plainly, He shares it with you plainly. You ever wondered why some folks depart from the house of God? No longer to darken the doors. Because God began to put His finger on their sin. Instead of dealing with it, they hit the door. And they were gone. And they went to some church somewhere else that wouldn't deal with their sin. That's tight. I'm sorry. But we're in the last days, and knowing the time, it's high time. We awake out of sleep. Hallelujah. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. We've got to cast off works of darkness. And we got to put on the armor of light. Hallelujah. We got to be those lights to shine. And our light is not going to shine if we're trying to hide any type of sin. So after we arise and eat, then we must arise and depart from all those things that God begins to show us that are not good for us, that are polluted and that are destroying us. There are some things in some folks' lives that ain't going to be destroying them. But if it's just outright blatant sin, according to God's word, it's going to destroy everybody. There's some things that's destroying you that may not destroy somebody else. But it's destroying you because it's got you in bondage. Arise and depart. Matthew 9:5 says, "For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk." I hope you're getting this as much as I'm getting it. Hallelujah. You see, with God, when God forgives us of our sins, He gives us power to walk above it. Hallelujah. He could have told that lame man, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," and he did. And they got all offended at it. Whoa, he said, okay, I could have just said, "Arise and walk." Because when I forgive sins, you're going to be able to walk in my power. Hallelujah. You're going to be able to walk with me, because that's what hinders my walk with God, is my sin. What is sin? My lack of enthusiasm and desire to do what God wants to do in my life. Sins of omission, sins of commission. Omission, what's a sin of omission? Knowing God wants me to do it and I don't do it. That's a sin of omission. I just choose not to do something pleasing to my God. Whoa. So now we're going to have to arise and walk in that light. Arise and walk in that newness of life. Arise as the day star. See, we got to go back. And we got to go back and find that day star rising in our heart on a continual basis. We need to be refilled with the Holy Ghost on a continual basis. Not just talking about praying in tongues, because praying in tongues is something you should be doing all the time. Hallelujah. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you should be praying in tongues continually. When you kneel down at that altar, sooner than later, tongues should become your prayer language. Hallelujah. Why? Because that's the Holy Ghost of God using you then to pray what He wants to do. Hallelujah. A lot of times we think God ought to do this. God's got a plan, and we don't know what that plan is, but when we begin to pray in that unknown tongue, then God's will is being prayed down. So just because you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to walk on. You need to follow on. You need to continually be filled and refilled with the Spirit of God. Keep going back to that well of salvation. Keep going back to that day star rises in your heart. Keep going back until you are absolutely surrendered to God, fresh and anew. Because that is not something that seems to stay very long. It's part of that warfare. So, arise and walk. My sins have been forgiven, and I will arise now and walk in that newness of life, and I'll not go back to that hog pit. I'll not go, this is just what the Bible says. I'm not going back to that vomit. Because I'm walking on with Jesus. I'm walking on with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm shaking off the sleepies. Hallelujah. I'm realizing that it's high time. Jesus is about to return. There are souls that need to be saved. Hallelujah. And I've got a part to play in it. And I ain't got time to always be wrestling with things. I've got to be victorious so I can be helping people. Glory. Rise and walk. Hallelujah. Lamentations 2:19. Arise. Cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward Him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Church, it's time to rise and cry out at night. It's time to arise and begin to pray like never before. Begin to cry out for God's deliverance of souls. God opening the eyes of the blind so they can see their need of salvation. It's time that you and I arise and begin to cry out in prayer like never before. Hallelujah. Because it's prayer that is going to change things. So why? Because it's prayer that God then begins to move upon and move through. It is the door that opens up access for God to come into this world and do great exploits. Hallelujah. We got to get that back on our minds. It's not a matter of just fulfilling a duty. It's a matter of swinging wide the doors of this world to an almighty God as we begin to pray and cry out from the depths of our hearts for God to move in His glory, His might, and His power on the face of this earth. Hallelujah. That's when souls are going to start getting saved. Programs are great, and we need to have them. Outreach is great, and we need to have them. But if we're doing programs and outreach, and we ain't praying and crying out all night long, it ain't going to happen. It's time to rise and cry. Jonah chapter 3, verse 2. Everybody understands and knows the story of Jonah, don't you? Jonah 3, verse number 2, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Oh my, Jonah, he just had preconceived ideas about them Ninevites, didn't he? He just hated them. He didn't want to see them saved. He didn't want to see God have mercy on them. He just didn't want to go. I guess this is maybe the first guy I've ever seen that got mad at God. I'm too scared to death of God to get mad at God. God's the one that created me, and He can say, you're gone. You know, I learned a long time ago, you don't pick on people bigger than you. Unless you've got a way of escape or a pre-thought plan. And for somebody to get mad at God, you know, that's like Weston picking a fight with me. Kicking me in the knee. So I pick him up by the hair of the head and let him dangle. We don't do that. We really don't do that, but I could. God! Are you done yet? What good's it going to do to get mad at God? Because that ain't going to change me. That ain't going to help me. Ain't going to help anybody else. Can you see that that mind frame, something's wrong with that mind frame. That mind frame is not in surrender to an almighty God. That mind frame wants God to move at their own thoughts. Ooh, that's a scary place to be. Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach the preaching that I bid thee. It's all about God's plan. It's all about God's will. When God says that He wants you to do something, you need to go do it. Even if you don't understand why. Now I'll tell you the story behind those donuts. Maybe that's why I did it. I don't know. Maybe that's why it happened. I'd run to Verdigris to pick up a couple chairs that we'd bought. And as I was coming back by the nice donut shop there in Verdigris, I just swung in there. Hadn't been there in a long time. Had been there before. And I'm going to swing in there. Hadn't really had much for breakfast. Swing in there and get me a sausage roll, a couple donuts. So I just swung in there and got that. Talked to the folks a little bit. And just, you know, got in the vehicle and headed back to Claremore. And just as I was coming into Claremore, Holy Ghost just kept saying, you need to go back. You need to buy some donuts at that donut shop. Just go back and buy about 4 dozen. Take them to church. I don't know. Maybe you were starving this morning. You needed donuts. I don't know. I really couldn't tell you why I needed to do that. But I knew that God was asking me to do that. And you know how we are. What good's that going to do? What's the purpose in that? I've already drove to Claremore, and it's back at Verdigris. Ah, that's that. Yeah, oh. You need to go. You need to go. I'm not going to miss it, because, church, there's been times in my life that God's asked me to do something, and that person lost their life not long after I was supposed to go and talk to them. I didn't do it. I just wrote it off. I pushed it off. I rationalized it off. And that came to my mind. I said, I don't know why you want me to do this, God, but I ain't going to miss it this time. I ain't going to miss it this time. I know you're telling me to go do that. He was saying, go. So I just turned that vehicle around, and I drove from Claremore back to Verdigris. And I was speeding a little bit because the time was ticking away. I'd spent too long arguing with God. There was a close window there. There's going to be closed and gone. So I was speeding a little bit. I was just going 70 and a 50, that's all. Just a little bit. Yeah. But sure enough, I pulled back up to that donut shop, and the sign was off. They weren't open anymore. It didn't say open, and a vehicle had just left, and I thought, I've missed it. So I went up to the door anyway, and the door was still open. And I stepped in, and they were still kind of clean, and all the donuts were gone all out of the case. First, I thought, maybe I'm just dreaming this. I said, y'all got any donuts left? I said, well, yeah. We've actually got 5 dozen over here in a box. I said, I'll buy them. And the guy said, okay. And she said, well, I don't know if there's a full 5 dozen in there. There was. Just sell them to him for 4 dozen. So I got 5 dozen for 4 dozen. I got a bargain. And then I just asked him, y'all go to church anywhere? Well, you know, we kind of been to the Baptist church. My father was a Baptist minister, such and such church. I said, oh, well, that's good. I said, I pastor a church in Chelsea, Oklahoma. It's Calvary Lighthouse Church. So Calvary Lighthouse. I made sure I said it to where they said it back to. Calvary Lighthouse Church. And the wife said, Calvary Lighthouse Church. And he said, what kind of church was it? I said, it's a Pentecostal church. Oh. I said, we do a Facebook Live on all of our services. So if you ever want to look us up, just look us up. And then I told him, I said, I really felt like the Lord impressed me to come back and buy these donuts from you. I said, I was all the way down in Claremore. And God just kept speaking to my heart. And I said, I thought I'd better come back here and buy these donuts from you. They just kind of looked at me like, that was strange to them. That's where your donuts came from. Because the Holy Ghost said, go, buy those donuts. Go. Church, it's time to arise and eat. Arise and depart. Arise and walk. Arise and cry. So we don't have a problem with arise and go. Touch a life. Minister to a life. Same thing about those chairs that we purchased when I got there. Of all things, the wife knew my dad and was best friends with my niece, Allison. Allison used to be Allison Pepper. When she heard that name, she said, I know that name. And so I got to talking to them. I asked them, I said, y'all go to church anywhere? Well, yeah, we've been down to the Baptist church. We've been to this church. We've been to that church. We've been to almost every church, really. Not really going. I said, we do a Facebook Live every service. I said, it's Calvary Lighthouse Church. And he said, what? What church? She goes, Calvary Lighthouse Church. I said, well, view us. Go find us. Listen. And so once again, the moving of God is everywhere. I want to be able to hear, arise and go. Arise and go. And I'm going to close with this. I've been preaching a while here, and you've shaken off the sleepies. You're doing well. About almost have to, don't you, with a title like this. Well, I ain't going to be the one. Praise God. Woo! Shake off them sleepies. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 12, verse number 7, last scripture here this morning. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. Wouldn't this be a wonderful experience? And raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. We need to rise quickly, church. We need to be able to move with the voice of God quickly. And when we will, the power of God will move. Woo! We sit and we argue with God and we wrestle with God and we try to convince God of 101 reasons why I can't do what he's asked me to do. We're missing the power of God. Hallelujah. But if we can begin to arise and eat and arise and depart and arise and walk and arise and cry and arise and go and learn to do it quickly, hallelujah, the power of God, the anointing of God will begin to rest upon our lives and people's lives will be touched and we won't even realize that we've touched them because we are just trying to please our God. We are just trying to be everything God wants us to be. We are just pressing towards the prize and the high calling of God and enjoying every minute of it, excited about it, hallelujah, enthused about it, glory to God. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah, that has been my life for 39 years, going on 39 years. Hallelujah. When Jesus Christ saved my soul, gave me that new creature, filled me with his Holy Ghost, I haven't missed a church service. You can probably count them all on one hand. In 38 and a half years. I mean, there was times I even went sick. Now I've got these associate pastors and I don't have to do that to everybody. There's been times I've preached, somebody mentioned it just the other day, there's been times I've preached with a kidney stone. I mean, under a kidney stone attack when we was back at Good Hope Church. Hallelujah. I mean, I was full-fledged under the attack of a kidney stone, and the pain was atrocious. But I didn't have anybody else to step into that pulpit then. And so I just stepped on into it, and just sure enough, the minute I stepped into that preaching, that pain was gone. I mean, I just preached like I'm preaching this morning. Maybe a little better then. I was younger. Maybe a little worse. Maybe I've gotten older. Woo. Hallelujah. But while I was preaching God's word and while I was sharing that message with God's people, that pain was gone. But the minute I was done and the minute church was over and I was on my way home, that pain was still there. Woo. You see, God's able to do that. God's able to do that. Shaking off the sleepies because we want to see the power of God move. Because we want to see revival. We want to see souls saved. We want to see God glorified. God exalted. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ lifted up as the only name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Church, whether you realize it or not, there is a multitude of people out there who have no idea who Jesus Christ is. We just stood and was talking with some of them just yesterday. No, day before. Hallelujah. Just talking to some people who would we thought when we first encountered them that they would know better. But they didn't. Wow. I'm talking about grown people. 20-some years old, 30 years old. And their mind frame of who Jesus is like, wow, never heard that story. What'd you do? Well, we just stood there and tried to share Jesus with them. Tried to share the difference that makes a difference with them. Hallelujah. And sometimes, folks, you just have to drop the seeds and move on. That's what I did yesterday. You drop the seeds and you move on. But the seeds need to be dropped. The seeds need to be sown. I mean, sometimes you're just going to be a smile in their day. Come on, surely you can muster up a smile sometime during the day, can't you? Sometimes you're just going to be the smile. The smile in their day. Because you've got a smile. You've got a joy. You've got Christ rolling up within. You got that day star rising in your heart. Why? Because you woke up that morning, you arose and ate. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. You arose and departed. You arose and walked. And you had been crying the night before for an opportunity to help someone. How many pray that prayer? Lord, put somebody in my path today. Lord, give me an opportunity today. Even if it's just a smile. Wow.
That puts a lot of pressure on me, doesn't it? That puts a lot of pressure on me to go throughout my day with a smile because I just prayed and I just asked, Lord, help me help someone. That means it's all on me this next day. Woo! I better be walking with him. I better be in tune with him because I just asked him to use me to be a light to shine and not a vessel of darkness. Wow, I got to close here. Yeah, I preached way too long. I've almost preached an hour. I guess you're starting to realize I like to preach as much as I like to eat. We sit down at Sunday dinner. We're not done in just a little while. We sit there and linger. Sister Pepper, would you come back to the piano? You see, if your Christianity hasn't changed you and your temperament, your Christianity is not helping you. And it's not helping anybody else. See, Christianity is a transforming life. Oh yes, I understand. It takes time. Time and a process. But we got to keep hammering away at it. Because when we quit hammering away at it, we cease to change. And we become slumber, sleep, and do nothing. About righteous living, about holy living, about godly living, and we do nothing about helping someone else. I don't want to be dead on the vine. I want to be alive and well in Jesus Christ. I want to shake off the sleepies. Hallelujah. I want to arise and be all that I can be for my God. Just walking with him day by day. And that is how I will change. Amen. Because great things take time and effort. And as I'm putting forth that time and that effort with a pure heart, a sincere heart, then God will take and transform and renew and refresh and revive. And keep me alive in Jesus Christ. Stand with me if you would. Just right there where you're standing this morning, lift your hands to the Lord. Lift your voice to your God. Hallelujah. Cry unto the Lord. Give thanksgiving unto our God. He is worthy to be praised.